This is Chris Bleck on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. Thanks for listening to the Bleck and Abdallah podcast. It's presented by Coors Light. Stay inside and buy your Coors Light online. Find out how at get.coorslight.com. Coors Light, take time to chill.
This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
This is Bleck and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
Abdallah here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. You can also watch the show on Twitch, ESPN 1000 Chicago. The show is up and live. The chat is hot. People are responding. Chauncey getting a point and good question this week. How about that?
I love it. It's been a long 3 years for Chauncey trying to get a point and
on
good
the
question.
Board.
And he does have a lot of good questions. He's a good man. And so he deserves it. He deserves that point.
If you don't know what we're talking about, each week at the end of the 8 o'clock hour here on ESPN 1000, we have a fantastic segment. Check it out on the podcast, Bleck and Abdallah on the ESPN Chicago app. Let's go to Peter in Lombard. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Peter?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Not much. What do you got?
I'm not feeling you guys the last couple days. You guys are hot takers.
Oh.
What I don't understand is I love when radio guys actually think they can do a better job than the GM themselves. Mm. Both of you guys keep saying that the Bears should have taken a quarterback. Mm-hmm. So if you don't take them in the first or second or third round, when do you take a quarterback? In the fifth, sixth, or seventh round? I don't think so. We keep on talking about the offensive line. I think Abdallah said that there was on somebody's board that they had an offensive lineman that the Bears could have took on the 43rd, their first pick.
Yeah, Cleveland.
If it's not on the Bears' board, it really doesn't matter who other board that is on. The Bears are going by their board, not by anyone else's board. And my total count for offensive linemen that the Bears have picked up is four so far. You know, so they picked up four linemen. We don't know what these guys are going to be. I think that's a wait and see. And then Adalon said something about one of the receivers that they picked up that he dropped balls. There is nobody that's perfect coming out of the draft. All these guys can improve on a game. So I just think that, you know, nitpicking and let's see what happens. I mean, we're just so all over this guy, over picks, that we're not really sure what's going to happen. It's okay to have a hot take, but oh my God, you guys are making it seem like it's gloom and doom, like this is the worst draft ever.
Well, okay.
Man, come on, guys.
Peter, hang with me here. That's fine. We all have our own opinions. Do you trust the way Ryan Pace has drafted since 2015?
I think in a draft, I think you're going to hit some and miss some. That's okay. Part of a draft.
Okay, so that's just part of it. So Ryan Pace's inability to select players to get successful individuals for the depth of this team, that's just how it is for every team. We're all at the same level.
Yeah, I think in a draft, anyone would tell you in a draft, it's a hit or miss unless you pick in the first round. We know Ryan Pace does a bad job when he picks in the first round. We know that. We know he does a really bad job. He has missed on picking in the first round. But I think the pick that he made for 43rd, because you got to keep on saying we need a quarterback. We need a quarterback, but not now. We have needs right now. So if we pick a quarterback, that quarterback is not going to do anything for you this year. He won't do anything for you this year. And if you pick him in the fifth or sixth round or seventh round, what type of quarterback are you getting? Are you just picking a quarterback just to pick one for him to sit there? What type of quarterback are you getting? Because you don't run into too many Bradys at 166. You know, whatever pick he was back then, you don't get too many of those. So if you're not going to get him early, you definitely don't want to pick him later.
Well, based on the quarterbacks, you said that the Bears didn't need one right now. Then why did the Packers, Eagles, Colts, and Jets all draft quarterbacks? The Buffalo Bills draft a quarterback. None of those teams need a quarterback right now. None of them
Packers made a big mistake. So
okay.
I disagree.
And the Eagles?
Packers should never.
Eagles, Colts, Jets Eagles, and Bills.
It was sitting up there. It was sitting up there. Bears. Every team is in a different situation. Every team, the Bears needed other things. You know that. Chris, you know that they needed other things other than a quarterback. They could not waste a draft on a quarterback. Those first two picks, 43 and 50, there is no way you could have taken the quarterback and justified it with all the needs that they have. There is no way you could have done that.
Thank you for the phone call, Peter. You're telling me
this guy's coming in to start.
Thank you for the phone call, Peter. We appreciate it, man. You know, the one thing that I think is interesting is, how is a draft analysis labeled hot take?
Well, I just look at numbers, right? You and I just look at numbers and move forward. So 28% of players drafted in the fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh rounds were retained by their teams at the end of the first contract. This is numbers. This is from Bleacher Report. This is from an article, right? Which is a number that is largely supported by an abundance of fourth round picks re-upping. Rounds 5, 6, and 7 are made up of 16.7% of 28.2%. Now you say 16.7%, 28.2%. What does that mean? 0.4%. So 4%, 0.04. So 4% of players that are drafted in the sixth and seventh rounds are retained by their team so that they're originally drafted. That doesn't mean they don't go on and sign and do other things. But ultimately, if you're looking at success rate, and I know Peter said, oh, they have four offensive linemen. Yeah, well, two of them were undrafted free agents. You know what the success rate of undrafted free agents are? Even worse than being drafted in the sixth and seventh round. So you're talking about two guys that were drafted in the seventh round and two guys that were picked up off the street as an undrafted free agent after the draft was over. You needed offensive line. That's not a hot take that you need offensive line.
No, it's fine. It's cool. I'm searching for something right now because that was Peter, right?
In yes. Lumber.
Here, for Peter and those who think that Black and Abdallah are just spewing out takes today, this is for you. Congratulations on your 2020 Chicago Bears draft.
For the Twitch people. I'm
all right.
For the Twitch people.
Come on. While you were talking, I was listening to what you were saying. That was good content, but I had to search for it. It was on Caps page, so I had to go find it.
No, I know. We've worked together long enough where I know when you're searching for stuff and I'm vamping. I get it.
But this is for Peter. Congratulations.
Yep. Congratulations, guys.
Yes. Do not have a realistic viewpoint on this team or the draft ever because we will wait and see.
Mm-hmm. We'll figure it out.
I'm letting it breathe a little.
Yeah, let it breathe. It's cool. Do you have, I'm not going to make you look for it because it's just, we don't need to look for it. I know he said it. Ryan Pace said he would draft a quarterback every single year, and every single year he doesn't do it. He hasn't drafted a quarterback since Mitchell Trubisky. He's got Tyler Bray and Mitchell Trubisky and Nick Foles now.
It's his board. Here's Ryan Pace last night. His board, it didn't align. That's a key phrase here.
Your board
it didn't
is
align.
Trash.
Here's Ryan Pace last night.
It just has to align for us, you know? I mean, you know, every draft, you know, different positions, their strengths and weaknesses. But for us to take any position, it really has to align for us the right way. So, you know, sometimes there's players we like at that position and the board just doesn't follow that way for us. So that's what happened this draft. And we're OK with it because we came away with seven players we're really excited about.
Ryan Pace!
It just has to align for us, you know? I mean, you know, every draft, you know, different positions, their strengths and weaknesses. But for us to take any position, it really has to align for us
the right way.
So,
no
you know, sometimes there's players we like at that position, and the board just doesn't follow that way for us. So that's what happened this draft, and we're okay with it because we came away with seven players we're really excited about.
I can't wait for the Bears to only get three players from this draft. See what I'm saying? And if we're going to wait and see how it plays out, Ryan Pace is telling you they've got seven players. His record when it comes to the seventh and sixth round is not good. Last year in the sixth round, they had Duke Shelley, the cornerback, who played in 9 games last season from Kansas State. They turn around and draft 2 cornerbacks this year. So that's a sixth-round pick from last year. Mm-hmm. The seventh-round picks from last year, you have Steven Denmark, who is on the practice squad, so who knows if he'll actually contribute. Mm-hmm. Again, another cornerback. You draft 2 cornerbacks this year. And then if you go to 2018, Javon Wims is a seventh-round pick, still on the roster, played in 20 games for the Chicago Bears. He has 22 receptions in his career from Georgia, but really hasn't been a difference maker. Outside of that, 2017, 2016, 2015, mm-hmm. you're getting nothing from the sixth and seventh round picks. So, okay.
But they got four linemen yesterday.
We will wait and see.
They got four linemen, Chris.
From the individuals from this year's draft.
I thought that I had a hot take to start the show, and I said I like this draft over the regular draft.
That was fire, man. To be honest, there are no stats and facts to back up your opinion there, so I don't know if that really...
I just liked it. As a viewer, I enjoyed it more than previous drafts. I liked the look at home.
Okay, so in Vegas, the win total is at 8.5.
Yeah.
For the win total for the Chicago Bears next season. Did the Bears do enough to improve this team where you feel comfortable selecting 10 wins for the Chicago Bears? Had the Bears improved enough that in Vegas, it will reflect and it will change, and people will put their money down on the Bears going over the 8.5.
Oh, man. I don't know. And I that's not a cop. I'm not trying to get out of the question, because I think Nick Foles will be the starter. I also think that this defense can get out of bed and win 7 games because they're just that good, and they'll keep the offense in games, right? I think the Vikings did a lot to improve themselves. I think the Packers didn't do themselves any favor. I think the Lions are going to be an improved team. The Vikings are going to be an improved team. The Packers, like I said, didn't do very much. So if we do the even better or worse game, are the Vikings even better or worse than the Bears?
The Vikings are better.
So would you give them 2 wins against the Bears?
I don't know if I would just hand them 2 wins, but I think they're a much better team, playoff team. They have a quarterback, not a great quarterback, but they have their identity. They know what they do well. Mm-hmm. They made the playoffs last year. They were obliterated in the playoffs, and they made a decisive decision to load up on players in this year's draft. I like that style.
I think they can win 9 games this year. I don't know if that's going to be enough to make the playoffs, but I think they can win 9 games this year. If Nick Foles is the starter from day one, they can win 9 games this year. If they mess around and do some BS and try to trot Trubisky out there like he's going to be the real deal, then no. I don't know.
They better not. They didn't improve the offensive line.
That's what I'm saying.
In the draft.
Well, no, they got 4 guys. They got 4 guys.
7th round picks.
They
Come
got
on.
4 guys.
If you want to join the conversation, do you think the Bears will go over the 8.5 win total in Vegas? You can call us at 312-332-3776. Your call is next.
Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. It's Black and Abdallah. Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
This is a good tweet. John with no H tweets us Abdallah, Black and Abdallah, here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. We've been talking about this soundbite from Ryan Pace from last night on why the Bears didn't draft a quarterback in the draft. It doesn't matter when they would have drafted it. Just draft somebody to have in the pipeline. Here's Ryan Pace last night.
It just has to align for us. You know, I mean, you know, every draft, you know, different positions, their strengths and weaknesses. But for us to take any position, it really has to align for us the right way. So, you know, sometimes there's players we like at that position, and the board just doesn't follow that way for us. So that's what happened this draft, and we're okay with it because we came away with 7 players we're really excited about.
So that's Ryan Pace last night. Align, the key word there. John with no H tweets us, maybe you can use that when your wife asks you to do something you don't want to do. Sorry, that just doesn't align for me. Can we try that today? Can all of us Bears fans use that going forward?
I'll try that today. Hey, do you want to go to the store with me?
It doesn't align with my day.
I looked at my board and
it doesn't align.
My board said, no, thank you.
Let's go to Mike in Bridgeport. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's up, fellas? First of all, I'm using that excuse all day, every day. Second of all, Cole Kmet, I think he's the best tight end we've drafted since maybe what, Greg Olsen. I think the kid's going to be a star in this league. But I just want to say, what do you guys think about Anthony Gordon? I really was hoping the Bears were going to draft this kid. He ends up signing undrafted with the Seahawks, I think.
Yeah.
I'll hang up and listen. Let me know what you guys think.
No, I'm with you, Mike. I would have liked to see that, especially in the seventh round.
Sign him.
Jump on it the moment the draft ends. Clearly, based on Ryan Pace, what he's told us, they're confident in their quarterbacks.
That's how the board felt, but we do have confidence in our quarterbacks. You know, from Mitch to Nick and Tyler Bray, we have confidence in our quarterbacks, and we're looking forward to that. But I think the board fell a certain way. We have to be disciplined with it, and that's just the way it played out.
So no quarterbacks for the Chicago Bears.
Ryan, you're confident in your quarterbacks. Are you going to pick up that fifth-year option on Mitch? How about that fifth-year option? Are you going to pick that up?
No, just coming off the draft right now. I mean, we're just decompressing on this final
decompressing.
Day.
Decompressing. So, that's the other
We know we have to wait for work. No updates in that area.
I'm going
to
get
he
home.
He has it all down. Decompressing so you don't actually have to give an answer, and it didn't align.
I'm going
to
get home at like 10:20 today. I'm going to sit on the couch.
Hey, Whitney, I'm decompressing.
And my wife's going to be like, we need to go to the grocery store.
I'm decompressing.
Get your mask, get your gloves. I'm going to be like, listen, I'm decompressing here.
That does not align with my day.
It does not align with my day. And I will kindly like you to, I will give you this. I will like to take from next week's going to the store to use it instead of this week's going to the store.
Can I trade a going to the store when the quarantine is over and COVID-19 is over? Can I trade one of those store trips to right now?
I'll go to the store alone for a month when the quarantine is over if I don't have to go today.
John in Rolling Meadows, you're on ESPN 1000.
Yeah, hi guys.
What's up?
I'm kind of questioning the draft the Bears had because they didn't shore up their offensive line. They didn't get that receiver that everybody said they needed to pick up. As far as the quarterback goes, I think he shied away from that with the bust that he had with Mitch. I think he was scared to draft a quarterback because Mitch was such a bust, and he's, you know, going to the bathroom saying, Mitch is my man, Mitch is my man. Now, look, if they don't pick up the option on him and the other quarterback, we didn't guarantee a second year or two, he may leave. So next year we may be without a GM, a head coach, or a quarterback.
Yeah, those are all distinct possibilities. Thanks for the call, John. Let's go to Mike in Hoffman Estates.
What's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call. I just kind of wanted to point out, I mean, it just really depends what Ryan Pace's mindset is for why he made the picks he did. I'm not a Bears fan, so I look at things very objectively. And to me, you know, like the first two picks, okay, I understand. But like third pick, like an edge rusher, like why are you concerned about an edge rusher right now? And the fact that you essentially, in my opinion, you really didn't get any linemen. I mean, like you guys are talking about, the odds of a seventh round and undrafted guys actually playing and being meaningful part of the roster are very slim. But I do understand why they wouldn't get a quarterback. I don't think this is the year to waste a draft pick on a quarterback, because if you're not grabbing one in the second or third round, then there's really no point to draft one in the sixth and seventh round unless, again, you want another shot in the dark. It just really depends. I mean, that 8.5 wins is really, it's a perfect mark. I mean, they could easily have 9 wins, and they could easily be 6-10. Is Ryan Pace trying to rebuild, or is he trying to make a playoff run with Nick Foles and try to get some of that Nick Foles magic in the playoffs?
Yeah, good point, Mike. And I agree with you. That number at 8.5 is a perfect number, right? Because they go 8-8 last season, 12-4 the year before that. If you have great play from Nick Foles, you're assuming the defense doesn't take any steps back. But what we saw from the 12-4 team to the 8-8 team is that even though many of the pieces are still here, the defense did take a tiny step back, and that little step back made all the difference in the offense not being able to make up and compensate for it. So without Prince Amukamara and no safety, who's your second safety right now? Deion Bush?
It's going to have to be, isn't it?
Right? Like there are individuals, and then factor in, as all NFL teams do, and we all understand when we talk about this stuff, injuries, right? There were times when the backup stepped in, Kwiatkowski stepped in, no longer here. Mm-hmm. So do you have the depth behind players like a Roquan Smith who can step in? 8.5 is a really tough number because I want to say it's going to go over. But to me, it's like, did you improve enough to automatically get to 9-10 wins? Paul in Lake Forest, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, good morning, guys. I love you. I love your show.
Thanks, Paul.
Thanks, Paul.
I got to disagree on a couple things, though. I think numbers are good, but I also think know that figures lie and liars figure. That's what I know about numbers. Let me compare using numbers to make decisions to horse gambling, if I may, for a second. The numbers tell you every time you go to bet a horse that favorite's going to win. If you bet favorites, that you will become what's called a broken down horse gambler. You'll last about 2 months. So this is how I look at commodities trading. This is how I look at picking players in the draft. People tell you what you got to do. You got to stand firm with what you believe and try to find a way to beat the favorite. That's what you got to do. So I don't care that it's 4% succeed in the sixth or seventh round. I'm sure Bill Belichick doesn't care about that when he picks in the sixth or seventh round. I think they should have picked for need. I think they need an offensive line. I don't know what they're doing. They're depending on this offensive line coach that's going to turn all these guys around. I mean, maybe I played sports. Coaches are everything. Maybe they'll be able to do that. But the first two things you got to do in the current day offense is, first thing is run the ball. Second thing is run the ball. If they can't run it and fake into the line and let the quarterback roll out and gain 5, 6, 7 seconds so you can throw it to some mope tight end that can beat, that has to be able to beat a linebacker when he's got 5 seconds in coverage. I mean, that's the modern day offense. So if you can't establish the run, you're not going to be able to do anything else. I was very disappointed they didn't address the offensive line.
I'm with you, Paul. Thank you for the phone call. And the follow-up to that and running the football, do you have a head coach who's experienced enough to understand the concept that Paul in Lake Forest just laid out for us? Run the football. Balance. Life and football, much the same. To have success, it's about balance. Work-life balance, run the football, pass the football. To be able to pass the football, you need to be able to run. To run the football, you have to have the individuals who could stretch the field and a quarterback who can throw past 5 yards downfield, something that we haven't had here.
Well,
so like it all comes together as balance. To Paul's point, if the head coach understands that, they should be able to run the ball. Hopefully the offensive line has improved, and this offense can finally give you decent output.
The only thing they've done to improve the offensive line is, yeah, you drafted two guys in the seventh round. You signed two undrafted free agents. But ultimately, the only thing you've done to the offensive line to improve it is bring in a different coach. Now, is it going to be a different scheme? Or is the room instantly going to be that much better just because you brought in a new head coach? They haven't done anything besides a new coach on paper to improve this line.
I'm skeptical on that only because we've had Michael Jr. on the show many times. We've heard other NFL experts talk about it. Harry Hiestand is one of the best offensive line coaches in football.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully Juan Castile is someone who can improve the line. But I think it's interesting that one of the best in football could not get it done here, and that we're just assuming that it's not the players, it's the coaching.
I wonder if Hiestand was... Now, they got Hiestand right out of Notre Dame. They got him from college right to the pros. So I wonder if he was a guy who was really good at developing offensive linemen as opposed to coaching offensive linemen. You know what I mean? Like, is he good at taking high school kids and turning them into NFL players, and then he gets to rotate them through every so often? Or is he a good offensive line scheme coach? Because if he's really good at building, like, Notre Dame's got some great offensive linemen. They get great guys coming out of there every single year. So if he's good at developing these players, maybe he couldn't make that step to coaching these guys and developing scheme now that he doesn't need to worry about developing them. It may be the case. I'm not trying to knock Heistand whatsoever. It's just you got to know what you're good at. If he's really good at developing these kids into NFL players, that's fine. He's probably the best at doing that. He might not have been the best NFL offensive line coach. Maybe he was better suited for college, and Juan Castillo is better suited for this scheme and for these guys. We'll find out if that's what they did to improve the team.
Bleck and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000 in the ESPN Chicago app. So tonight, The Last Dance resumes. Episodes 3 and 4 at 8 o'clock tonight. Mm-hmm. 2 episodes tonight, 2 each and every Sunday going forward for the next month. Tonight's episodes, Dennis Rodman is a focus, and then Phil Jackson, I believe, is the focus of the 4th episode as we kind of head into this. I'm excited. All the coverage here on ESPN 1000 is presented by Coors Light. Stay inside and buy your Coors Light online. Find out how at get.coorslight.com. Coors Light, take time to chill. So The Last Dance tonight, numbers were huge last Sunday night, as expected on ESPN television. What was your takeaway from what we saw last week? We saw a lot of backstory last week. What was the main theme and takeaway from you?
The main takeaway from me was all the stuff that we learned afterwards, how like Tim Floyd came out and said that, you know, that Krause wanted to dismantle this team after Jordan came back the first time, after the first championship in the second three-peat, and how he wanted to tear this down. And it's amazing that through all of this adversity with Jerry Krause and the players, that they were able to win as much as they did. I know they had the best player of all time on the team, and it makes it a lot easier when you have the best player of all time and another top 50 player with them in Scottie Pippen, you know, and Dennis Rodman and all the other guys. But ultimately, the stories that came out about how just deeply jealous Jerry Krause was of the success that the players were getting and how he wasn't getting any credit. Yeah, we knew some of it was on the surface, but I didn't know how deep it went until some of the stories coming out around the actual episodes.
To me, the number one takeaway from last week is that throughout NBA history, the players usually at some point want to get away from each other, and they're the ones that decide that it's over. LeBron James wanted to leave Miami. Shaq wanted away from Kobe. Kawhi Leonard wanted out of San Antonio. Kevin Durant didn't want to play in the Bay anymore. Mm-hmm. Those are reasons to why those teams that either were dynasties or on the verge of becoming something greater decided to break up. The takeaway for me is that Scottie and Michael wanted to continue playing together, and ownership and the GM were not allowing it to happen. That was the major takeaway. We will have our Bulls backstory next.
You're listening to Bleck and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
I'd like you to meet someone who's really special.
It's Bleck and Abdallah.
A real inspiration.
Follow us on the gram at Bleck and Abdallah and at ESPN _ Chicago.
Thank you to Tyler Aki for producing today's show. Huebner and Xander coming up at 10 o'clock right here on ESPN 1000. Thanks to those who watched us on Twitch today. Search ESPN 1000 Chicago. Watch the show. Also download our podcast on the ESPN Chicago app. Search for Bleck and Abdallah. We have a lot of draft conversation from yesterday, our show that took place during the 6th and 7th round, recapping the Bears draft, and then also today, and then our Bulls backstories, taking a deeper look into some of the storylines with the Chicago Bulls as we continue to watch The Last Dance. When we look at Cole Kmet from Notre Dame, Abdallah, we talked to Pete Sampson from The Athletic yesterday, and we asked him how would he sum up Kmet's play at Notre Dame.
You just never really felt like you got the best out of him because he had the high ankle sprain as a sophomore, broken collarbone as a junior. So his career, to me, it reminded me a lot of Kyle Rudolph from about 10 years ago, where big-time, prototypical tight end who's gone on to an awesome career with the Vikings, but just really banged up, 3 and out at Notre Dame as well. And I think Kmet's kind of in that mold, too, where you just look at him and he's like, God, this guy's going to have a better NFL career than he had a college career. You know, his big moment was at Georgia, was the best player for Notre Dame by far in that game, over 100 yards, touchdown, at a place where they actually had to have him come up big. So, I think he's going to, you know, like you guys said, he's a tight end for the future in a lot of ways, should be 6, 7, 8, 9 year pro. I think that highly of him.
As far you mentioned the Georgia game last year, how did he perform in some of Notre Dame's, besides that game, in some of their biggest games of the season as they faced tougher competition?
I mean, he was good when he was on the field. You know, he was sort of a guy that teams had to key on, got a lot of double teams, opened some things up for Chase Claypool on the outside, who was, you know, went in the second round of the Steelers. I mean, Notre Dame was, they didn't have a lot of great options in the pass game last year or the run game, frankly. So it was sort of a two weapon offense. He was one of the two weapons, but I mean, I think when they needed him, he was their go-to target. You know, it was just unfortunate that he had the high ankle sprain and the broken collarbone. And you know, you feel like you got about 1 3/4 solid seasons out of him over 3 years. You know, if he had come back for his senior year, I think he would have been probably a mid first round pick, late first round pick. You know, and you're probably the number one tight end of the country.
So that's Pete Sampson, Notre Dame reporter for The Athletic. He joined us yesterday to hear the full interview. Check out Black and Abdallah on the ESPN Chicago app. And then also Chris Kamrani from the Utah reporter from The Athletic joined us yesterday as well. Good draft bio on Jalen Johnson. Check it out on the podcast page. And now, before we end the show, Abdallah has our moment of zen. We're stealing directly from Jon Stewart in The Daily Show. Abdallah, give us that moment of zen that you have for us to send us out here on the on today's program.
Well, a lot of people are like, oh, the Appalachian, you know, the Adam Shaheen pick. Sometimes Ryan Pace thinks he's smarter than the room and likes to find guys from smaller schools.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, he's always looking for that diamond in the rough, right?
Yeah.
Well, this is from our good friend Jacob Nitzberg at ESPN Stats and Info. Since Ryan Pace took over in 2015, he's made 39 draft picks. Only 24 have come from Power 5 conferences, plus Notre Dame. That ratio of 61.5% is the lowest in the NFL in that span. The league average over that time is 75.4%. In addition, all six of his picks in the first class of 2015 were from Power 5 conferences. So in the last five drafts, only 18 out of 33 have been from Power 5 plus Notre Dame players for 54.5%.
Okay, 54.5%. Okay.
54.5% from Power 5 schools. 54.5% plus Notre Dame.
And now, Power 5 schools, important because that's where the best players
go. Look
and
at
that's
LSU,
where they are.
LSU had 13 players drafted.
Okay, yeah. There's a reason. Yeah. Okay. I understand that. 54.5. Got it.
Yeah.
Got it.
Half. Half. A little more than half.
Okay.
From
that's
his
fine.
Players are from Power 5 schools. He's like, oh, you know, I'm finding diamonds in the rough. I'm moving and shaking. I'm going down to the directional schools. That's where I'm finding guys.
Oh, but how does that compare to the rest of the league?
That's like 25% less.
Oh.
20% less.
Wait, really?
Yeah, the league average is 75.4%.
Oh. It's not good. It's not good. So you're saying it's not just this year.
It's every year. Every year, except for 2015, because all of his picks were from Power 5 schools.
Oh, there you go.
Those 5 years ago.
First year on the job.
It was 5 years ago.
But how many of those individuals are still on the roster?
You are listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.